It's 6 o'clock on Monday, the 8th of January. Good morning. This is Today with Carrie Gracie and John Humphreys.
The headlines this morning. Theresa May is expected to promote more women and MPs from ethnic minority backgrounds when she makes changes to her ministerial lineup today. Hollywood stars, including Oprah Winfrey, have used the Golden Globes Award ceremony to take a stand against sexual harassment in the entertainment industry.
For too long, women have not been heard or believed if they dared to speak their truth to the power of those men, but their time is up.
Also in today's programme, are self-help books worth the paper they're printed on? And defending the simple sword of truth, we mark the life and work of former Guardian editor Peter Preston. The BBC News is read by Neil Sleat.
Theresa May is expected to make several changes to her cabinet team in the most extensive reshuffle since she became Prime Minister. They'll include a replacement. The BBC's China editor, Carrie Gracie, has stepped down from the role in protest at what she called an indefensible pay gap between men and women at the corporation. In an open letter addressed to licence fee payers, Ms. Gracie said the BBC was facing a crisis of trust and accused it of breaking equality law. A BBC spokesman said fairness in pay was vital, and three audits of pay were either underway or due to be published in weeks. Commuters are facing disruption this week as workers at five rail networks hold strikes.
So he really does see a lot of people as he tackles the UK's withdrawal.
Busy man. Adam, thank you very much.
It's 21 minutes to 7 now. Time for a look at today's papers and news websites. And the cabinet reshuffle is the lead for the Daily Telegraph, The Guardian and The Eye. According to The Telegraph, Mrs. May is to install a cabinet minister for no deal in the Brexit department alongside the Brexit secretary, David Davis.
And a big story in all the papers, pretty much, the resignation of somebody called Carrie Gracie as the BBC's China editor. It's the main story for The Times, on front page Telegraph, The Eye, The Sun and so on. The Times says her decision reflects the depth of anger felt across the corporation over pay inequality between men and women. It says 134 female employees at the BBC have issued a statement expressing wholehearted support for her, and the revolt represents one of the biggest crises to hit the BBC since Lord Hall took over as Director General in 2013. The BuzzFeed news website, which was the first to publish her open letter to licence fee payers, describes it as explosive and a bombshell. And at this point, given that Carrie is
sitting... What's happening next, John?
Well, indeed.
Where are we going from here?
And given that you are sitting next to me in the studio, perhaps listeners would expect me to do a really tough interview with you about that bombshell letter. But the BBC has rules on impartiality, which mean that presenters can't suddenly turn into interviewees on the programmes they are presenting. However, well, maybe. Anyway, you are going to be doing an interview on Woman's Hour here on Radio 4 at 10 o'clock. But just a very quick thought. You're not allowed... Yeah, well, you know the rules.
We're not doing an interview.
Not doing
but you're going to ask me one question.
The reaction has been quite a big one, hasn't it?
It has. It's been very moving, actually. And the two things that have struck me most about it and move me most. And one is, I think, the scale of feeling, not just among BBC women, but also just more widely across the country and also internationally, the support that I've had in the last few hours over this. I think it does speak to the depth of hunger for an equal, fair and transparent pay system. The other thing I'd like to say is that what is lovely for me is that people are mentioning my China work, because I would not wish to be remembered forever as the woman who complained about money. You know, I want to be remembered.
Too late.
I want to be remembered as the person who did some fine China work. And enough people are saying that for me to feel that will not get buried as a result.
Well, and they'll be right too, some fine China work. Now, the BBC, I have to say, because they've issued a statement, as you would expect, they've said fairness in pay at the corporation is vital. A significant number of organisations have now published their gender pay figures, showing that we, the BBC, that is, it's them speaking, are performing considerably better than many and are well below the national average. Alongside that, we've already conducted an independent judge-led audit of pay for rank-and-file staff, which showed no systematic discrimination against women. A separate report for on-air staff will be published in the not-too-distant future.
It's 6:45, and our headline this morning, Theresa May is expected to replace her sacked ally, Damien Green, and promote new faces to the cabinet in her third reshuffle since becoming Prime Minister.
The BBC's China editor, Carrie Gracie, has stepped down from the role and processed what she called an indefensible pay gap between men and women at the corporation. In an open letter addressed to licence fee payers, Ms. Gracie accused the BBC of breaking equality law. She says she doesn't want a pay rise, but does want to be paid the same as other international editors who are men. A BBC spokesman said fairness in pay was vital. Our media editor Amol Rajan reports.
When the BBC vigorously resisted publishing the salaries of some on-air staff last summer, it claimed that revealing such figures would prove inflationary and a poacher's charter. Now we know there's another reason publication of those figures is hurting the corporation, the fury of hundreds of female staff at all levels of the BBC. They say the figures revealed institutional and possibly illegal discrimination. The chief cause of anger isn't the overall gender pay gap, on which the BBC performs better than most organisations of comparable size. Rather, it is the impression that some men get paid more than women for doing the same job. Miss Gracie, who has been at the BBC for over 30 years and will return to a newsroom position in London, says the corporation faces a crisis of trust and that patience and goodwill are running out among female staff. The BBC says it takes the issue very seriously, citing three audits of pay underway or due to be published within weeks. Yet this is a dangerous moment for the corporation. With more than 200 formal complaints from female staff, there is a real possibility that legal action by some complainants could prove an expensive headache at a time when the BBC is already fighting battles on many fronts.
Many journalists, including colleagues at the BBC, have expressed their support for Carrie Gracie on social media. She said she had been moved by the reaction.
I think the scale of feeling, not just among BBC women, but also just more widely across the country and also internationally, the support that I've had in the last few hours over this, I think it does speak to the depth of hunger for an equal, fair and transparent pay system.
Commuters are facing disruption this week as workers at five rail networks hold strikes in separate disputes. The BBC's China editor Carrie Gracie has resigned from her post, citing pay inequality with male colleagues in similar posts. She told this programme the support she had showed the depth of hunger for an equal, fair and transparent pay system. A BBC spokesman said it believed fairness in pay was vital.
It is now 28 minutes to 8, and let's pick up on that story about the woman sitting next to me, Carrie Gracie, our China editor for the last 4 years, who's resigned from that job as a protest against what she's described as the secret and illegal pay structure in which women earn less than men. I mentioned earlier that BBC rules say presenters of a programme aren't allowed to use that programme to deliver their own views. The presenter can't suddenly turn interviewee. So let's talk to another presenter, Radio 4 presenter, that is Mariella Frostrup. You'll know her, of course. A wonderful book programme. She speaks for the group of 130 BBC women who've joined forces to tackle equal pay at the corporation. Mariella, good morning to you.
Good morning, John. I wouldn't dream to speak for such a group of diverse and amazing women. I'm really just speaking for myself this morning, but about that particular issue.
Indeed, and you're part of that group, and it's fair to assume that your views represent their views or vice versa, yeah?
No.
Well, all right, tell us what you think then. tell us what. It's not a very good line, this, by the way,
I think we can hear you all right. In the depths of rainy Somerset, so apologies for that. Obviously, it's untenable for this situation to continue. Only a couple of days ago, you know, it was revealed that Phase 8 on the high street, I think, were paying female employees something like 75% less. EasyJet 53% less than male employees. And, you know, the point about the BBC is it's certainly not the worst offender, but, you know, the BBC should always be seen as the best, set practitioner in this sort of issue. And so it's very disappointing that Carrie's been forced into the situation that she's in. But, you know, on a much broader and more general level, the Equal Pay Act was brought into effect in 1970. It's 48 years later, and women are still earning considerably less than men for doing the same jobs. Of course, it's a situation that can't continue. And I think that, you know, Carrie's action just proves that people have got to the point where we're just sick and tired of it.
But if you're talking about pay scales across the board, then the charge doesn't really stick against the BBC, does it? Because it has done its own audit. It was led by a judge, an independent audit of pay for rank and file staff. And that showed, and I'm quoting, and this is the finding of an independent judge, as I say, no systemic discrimination against women.
Well, isn't that better thing systemic? What does it mean exactly?
Well, it means that they're all getting much
What it means is that the corporation or the company in question, and I don't want to talk specifically about the BBC because, to be honest, it's not an experience I've had at the BBC. But
you
I
mean you've been fairly treated by the BBC,
well,
in your view?
I'm the sole presenter of my programme, so I don't have anyone's salary to compare it to. But I know many, many other women who are not in my situation and, you know, are suffering exactly the same as Carrie's situation and are feeling incredibly powerless and unable to change, you know, what continues to be the status quo. And as I say, I don't want to talk specifically about the BBC because I don't think that they're, by any manner of means, the worst-case employer. But I do think that it's a situation that across the board cannot continue. I mean, it's nearly half a century since we were promised, since it was enshrined in law that we should be paid and treated equally in the workplace. And, you know, this is a much bigger problem even than just the scale of salary, because it's about what happens to a woman's career, because women are the ones who bear children, who have to take time out of work, and there has still not been a radical rethink of how the work system works in order to facilitate both sexes.
Mm. But we are talking about the BBC, obviously, because of what Carrie's done. I mean, a very dramatic...
You are, John.
I think it's fair to say, if you look at the newspapers, that it's not only me. She is all over the papers this morning, as you know.
Yes,
well, I don't know, perhaps you haven't seen them yet.
The reason that it will grab many headlines is that the BBC is an example in so many ways of what is fair and just and right, particularly in terms of its reporting. And so for it not to be seen as a best practitioner when it comes to employment law and when it comes to how it pays its employees, of course that's going to make a better story than a company that we presume would behave badly.
But would you accept that it's much more difficult to calculate the rate for the job as between, I don't know, teachers, nurses, bus drivers, whatever it happens to be, than it is with, can I use the word in relation to you, for instance, stars like you? I mean, people, celebrities in their own right.
Do you like being called a star?
No, obviously not. I'm a journalist, and so are you. All right, forgive me. I won't call you a star.
Yeah, I'm a working journalist to interview people about, you know,
the arts
generally.
Let's use the word very high profile then. I mean, you're very well known throughout the country for what you do. It's difficult. Would you accept that it's much more difficult to find whatever the right level of pay is for somebody like you? And in the end, there is, and you'll expect me to say this, there is a market out there.
There's a market out there, but I think when you work at the BBC, you turn your back on that market for the
Do
most
you?
Part. Well, I think that you'll find that an awful lot of, you know, freelancers and people at the moment who are also engaged in an argument with the BBC about what's happening in terms of tax law and everything will illustrate to you that, you know, the BBC market is far more minimal in terms of remuneration than any other broadcaster. But that's not the issue. The issue is that of course, you know, you can say it's difficult to quantify when it comes to celebrity status, you know, but what pay salaries are based on. I can assure you that I'm way down in the very minimum, probably a tenth of what you earn. So, you know, I think that ultimately there should be more transparency. You can't continue with a system that's been so unfair without there being transparency. And I personally believe, but then I'm an old socialist, that it should be equal pay for equal jobs. You know, if you're doing the same job, why should you be paid more? If I was working, if my program did require two presenters, I would expect the other presenter to be paid the same as me, unless they were in a junior position, which is exactly how it works in any company, anywhere.
Given that you're a member of this 130 group, do you think there should be legal action against the BBC?
Well, I would really hope that the BBC would get its house completely in order and lead the way, as it has done in so many other things, lead the way in terms of equal pay. I mean, the time has come for this kind of thing to just come to a stop, whether it's equal pay, sexual harassment. I mean, you know, it's just depressing to read the headlines. I've grown up with this. You know, I'm the child of a 70s feminist, and in my working life, I can honestly say the situation hasn't barely improved.
Mariella Frostrup, thank you very much.
It's 22 minutes to 8. Now time for a look at today's papers and news websites. And the day after Theresa May scrapped plans to give MPs a free vote on overturning the ban on fox hunting, the Daily Telegraph has a cartoon. You're listening to Today on Radio 4 with John Humphreys and Carrie Gracie.
resign if I was not 077 077. Now, very much in the news this morning, our next contributor, Carrie Gracie, who has, you will have heard, resigned as the BBC's China editor over equal pay. In an open letter issued yesterday, Carrie, who's worked for the BBC for more than 30 years, said the BBC had a secretive and illegal pay culture. She said there is, or the BBC, I should say, says there is no systemic discrimination against women. So that's the BBC's line. We should make that very clear. Now, because of BBC impartiality rules, I can't interview Carrie. But Jane Martinson is a freelance journalist and a former women's editor and media editor at The Guardian. She's in our radio car this morning, and she is going to speak to Carrie Gracie. So, Jane Martinson.
Thanks, Jane. Hello, Carrie. You're
morning.
One of the most prominent female journalists at the BBC. You've never complained before. Why did you feel that you had to resign as China editor over this issue of pay?
From when the pay revelations were made last July, I have been trying to put it right through negotiation and through internal discussion. I lodged an equal pay complaint in August. On the 1st of August, I wrote to the Director General explaining that and warning that I would resign if I was not paid equally. I've explained to all my managers how important it was to me, the principle of equal pay, and that actually I reminded them that when I went to China, I had actually insisted that it was a condition of my going. So I was very disappointed by the pay revelations in July. I set about trying by negotiation to put that right. In October, the BBC made me a pay offer. My pay, as you may know, is £135,000. The BBC offered to raise that to £180,000. However, I was not interested in more money. I was interested in equality. And I kept saying to my managers that I didn't need more money. I just needed to be made equal. And that can be done in a variety of ways. So that went on, and then eventually when the BBC wouldn't budge on that, I lodged a formal grievance. And I came back in November for the grievance hearing. And at that point, I warned that I would find it very difficult to go back to China again without the issue resolved. The BBC said it hoped to have a grievance outcome before Christmas, but there is still no grievance outcome to this day. And I just decided that enough was enough. For 6 months, this has made me very unhappy. It's been a huge job of work to try to put it right, to understand the law. I set about it like any other reporting task. I tried to understand the law. Mm. I looked at employment tribunal cases. I talked to colleagues, male and female. I talked to my bosses. I talked to lawyers. And at the end of all of that, it's very hard to continue to do what is the job of China editor in one of the, which I do see as one of the most important and most difficult reporting jobs of our time. You know, I chase around being surveilled the whole time and dealing with intimidation, dealing with police harassment. I try and put everyone from yak herders to Communist Party officials on camera in a heavily censored one-party state. I speak Chinese. I have a degree in Chinese. I've been reporting the story for nearly 30 years. Do you know what I mean? I just feel I work hard.
Your open letter shows how absolutely furious you are with the BBC, Carrie, even though you say the organisation is something you still love. What exactly happened to make you so angry? As you say, they offered you £45,000 more, a lot of money for lots of people. What actually went wrong that you felt this breakdown of trust?
I didn't feel that it was a solution. I felt it was a divide and rule botched solution that would not make the BBC better. And I do love the BBC. I've been I've been in the BBC for, as Jane pointed out, more than 30 years. This is my professional family. I want it to be the best. Every day I go out without fear or favour, facing intimidation in China, facing censorship, and actually telling the story and shining a light. I'm not going to not shine a light when I find a problem in my home organisation that needs saying.
What did they actually say to you, Carrie, though? As you say, they did offer you more money. What did they say, and how did it not help?
I didn't want more money, do you understand? I wanted equality, and this was not equality. There was still a big gap between myself and my male peers, and I started... It, to me, this was an exercise in understanding how the BBC approached pay. And at the end of the exercise, I felt the BBC was not approaching pay in an appropriate way. The pay system was neither equal nor fair, nor was it transparent. And I thought all of that needed to change. And I'm afraid I have, over the past few months, as a result of communications between a lot of BBC women who have been similarly shocked, not just by their own experience, but by sharing their experiences and understanding the experiences of each other, when I perceived that some of the patterns of the way I was being treated were also appearing in so many cases, I felt that there was a lack of seriousness.
Carrie, do you think that they should cut, men should have a pay cut to make it equal? Because it's, as you say, it's equality here. You weren't asking for more money. You don't want more money. You were asking for equality. What can the BBC do?
Well, I believe in public service broadcasting. And I do think, as you will have seen from my letter, I do think salaries at the top are unacceptably high, both for presenters and stars of various kinds, and also for managers, actually. But I don't have the information, Jane, to say, oh, well, this needs to happen or that needs to happen. And none of the BBC women have that information. I do stand by what I say about the BBC being a secretive organisation on pay, and I think it's very inappropriate. The people in the BBC, the women in the BBC, who know that they're not being discriminated against on pay, are those in senior management whose pay is published. The rest of us are in a situation where we literally don't have the information to understand whether the BBC is applying the law in our case.
Let me read the statement from the BBC here, Carrie. Fairness in pay is vital, says a spokesman. A significant number of organisations have now published their gender pay figures, showing that we are performing considerably better than many and are well below the national average. Alongside that, we have already conducted an independent judge-led audit of pay for rank and file staff, which showed no systemic discrimination against women. A separate report for on-air staff will be published in the not-too-distant future. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I also believe in fair pay. I strongly believe in fair pay. I think the BBC's pay system needs to be equal, gender equal, and equal in many other ways. And I also think it needs to be fair. I work with incredibly talented and dedicated people every day of my working life. People who are earning much less than me. And I think the disparities in pay at the BBC, they make me uncomfortable, some of them, as a, you know, as somebody who believes in public service broadcasting. So I would thoroughly endorse a pay structure which was fair. But I don't believe the current pay structure is fair
or
equal or transparent. And I want to just finish my answer to the question you first asked me, Jane. You asked me why now. And the answer is, given that the grievance hadn't reported back, I could not go back to China and collude knowingly in what I consider to be unlawful pay discrimination. I could not do it, nor could I stay silent and watch the BBC perpetuate a failing pay structure by discriminating against women. I can't do it.
What happens next, Carrie? Is there legal action against the BBC? There are 200 women who've lodged grievances. What happens next?
I don't know. I mean, there are many of us and we have different positions. I think that I would like to see the BBC treat these BBC women with respect. I mean, we are all very, in my experience, very committed to the BBC. We want the best for the BBC. And the sooner the BBC deals with this problem and puts in place a better structure for the future, the sooner that some women, perhaps many, perhaps most, I don't know, will be prepared to forgive some of the problems of the past.
Should anyone resign over this, Carrie? You say it's problems of the past. Is there any existing management at the BBC who should be held responsible for this, do you think?
I think it's a system and a culture, and I said in my letter, and I say again, that I have been grateful to individual managers for their kindness to me in difficult situations in my life or in my work, and I've also been grateful for their strong stand, their robust editorial integrity when it came to situations where the Chinese government was putting pressure on me and putting pressure on the BBC back here in London. Now, having said...
Many more-
having said
Sorry, Carrie, having said that,
I really would like to see a seriousness in the approach to this problem.
There are many more questions we'd love to ask you, but I'm afraid we're running out of time now. Thank you. We have to go back to Jane now.
That was Jane Martinson, who is a former women's editor and media editor at The Guardian, and she was interviewing the BBC's former China editor, Carrie Gracie, who has resigned, as you'll know, over the issue of equal pay. Thanks to everybody who's been tweeting about this. Just a brief mention to Sarah, who says, this is a public story of what happens to lots of us being told now on Woman's Hour by Carrie Gracie. This lack of equality needs to end. Good for her for standing up to be heard and refusing to back down. Many of us are silenced by compromise or settlement agreements and plain battle fatigue. Well, I think Carrie probably does feel quite tired, but we are very grateful to her. Thank you very much, Carrie.
Thank you.
Now, impartiality does not stop me discussing the menopause on Woman's Hour next week. I can't think why it doesn't, because really I'm not impartial on that either. Anyway, we're discussing the menopause next week, a whole series across the week looking at the impact the menopause has on women's lives, particularly actually on